Matthew 6, verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, please will you teach us this morning. The great temptation will be to think that you want us to be poor, that you want us to be unhappy, that you want to take from us. Keep us safe from those lies. Show us that what's on offer this morning is that you want not to take but to give. That you want us to be rich with true riches. That what's on offer is not sadness, but joy. Please, speak to us now, we pray. Amen. Well now, when I was a wee tacker, as they say in some countries, I was about yay high, we had a little gang in our neighborhood. Awesome little gang, and we had lots of fun getting up to all sorts of adventures. Now, I need to tell you, this is before the internet. We did have electricity. I'm not that old. But there was no such thing as the interweb. There was no such thing as Fortnite. There was no such thing as social media. We didn't have those sort of things. When we said social, we meant social. Yeah, we didn't have social media. In our day, social was really social. In fact, in our day, all our games were literally live stream because they were real. Our games had the best imaginable graphics because it was real life. So it was awesome. Now, one of our games was called Spying. Oh, so much fun. We thought it was an exhilarating buzz. Our little gang would sneak up and we'd climb over some house wall. And we'd sneak through their garden and try and look through the windows. It was so exciting. And we pretended that other human beings were alien monsters. And so we'd try and sneak up and study them. It was so fun. Near my house, there was Shire. There was the Shire offices. And they were on a big, big plot of land with trees and bushes. And the best thing was to sneak up on the workers and try and look through the windows. And we can, you know what, I'm looking back nowadays, and we thought we were amazing. But I can only think what those Shire government employees must have thought with those little children. Yeah, they come. Doris, come look. Yeah, they come again, you know. And there were these little kiddies sneaking up on the windows and hiding and trying to, we used to make all these calls to each other. Very exciting. But then we took it to the next level. And what happened is we became like James Bond. We developed sophisticated tech. What happened was Gary, I still remember his name, my mate Gary Rivers, what he did was he invented a periscope. He obviously read it in a Beano magazine. You won't know what that is. But what he did was he made this cardboard box. It looks like a Z, right? And it was made out of cardboard, and you glued a mirror in there, and you glued a mirror in there, and then what you could do is you look through here, and it's like magic. It's like a modern-day computer, because you could look through there, and it would go out that side. And so it was amazing. We could hide down low, and we'd lift the periscope, and we'd look at these poor people, You can imagine a poor council worker working away and this periscope comes up next to them, you know, but it was so fun. Now, what made me think of our periscope is this passage in the Bible, as you can see. I'm sure you can see it straight away. This passage is, it just makes me think of a periscope. So I suppose I should explain it to you. I think Jesus teaches us here that we all function as living periscopes. Let me show you what I mean. If you look at this passage as a whole, there are two body parts that are featured quite prominently. One is the eyes. Jesus talks about the eyes and seeing. So look at verse 22. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. If your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. So he's talking about the eyes and seeing. But in the previous section and in the section afterwards, Jesus talks about the heart. He talks about the heart, for example, in verse 21, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In verse 24, he talks about what you love. You will either hate the one or love the other. Or he talks about devotion. You'll be devoted to the one, despise the other. So can you see it? It's all about the eyes and seeing, and it's all about the heart and loving. Now the question is, how are those things connected? Jesus, what's your logic? What's the logic in this passage? Or does the Bible just throw things randomly together? Well, that's never true. There's a logic here. What is the logic? Well, how are heart and eyes connected? And the answer is a periscope. That's why a periscope is so helpful. Let me explain. Your heart is hidden. It's deep down below. And your heart is searching, constantly spying. Your heart is searching, what for? Your heart is searching for something to love. That's what your heart is for. And your heart is looking for something to treasure, something to love. That's what your heart is looking for. Freddie Mercury. Can anybody find, this is not the song, because I gave the game away. Freddie Mercury, find me somebody to love, or something to treasure. Your heart was made to love. So it's looking for some object of beauty to love. We're all like that. But your heart can't see. And so what's happening up above is your eyes are on patrol. And your eyes are looking at all the things in the world, scanning the objects, trying to find an object of beauty that it can present down to the heart to love. Just like a periscope. And as your eyes look at objects and things in the world, your eye says to your heart, what about this? What about this? What about this? And your heart is thinking, no, no, no. Ooh, yes, very nice. That's what's going on. And this whole mechanism works fine. It's a great mechanism. If your eye see clearly. If your eyes don't see clearly, then the whole thing breaks down and your heart won't find the right thing to love. That's why Jesus says in 22, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye is healthy, if you're seeing correctly, then your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be filled with darkness. In other words, your eyes, if they see things in the wrong light, will make your heart sick. What will happen is that your heart is going to love a phantom or a mirage. Your heart is going to love the the wrong thing if your eyes are looking at the wrong thing. The periscope is not working properly. And so this morning, what Jesus is going to do for us this morning is he's going to tell us what to look at. Then he's going to tell us how to guard our hearts. Then he's going to show us why bother? Why bother with all of this? And then, and he has the most important question, he's going to show us who can change what your heart loves. Who can change that? Who can change what I love it because I love it because I love it? No. Can somebody change what I love? And I'll show you why it's important. So we've got two things this morning. Just 2 points. The first one is very long. And the second one is short. Here's healthy sight, healthy heart, healthy treasure. So here's what we're going to see. First of all, seeing clearly will guard your heart from fake treasure and losing everything. This is very important. I don't want people to leave here this morning hearing the word of God and feeling that you've been stolen from. What you're going to see this morning is Jesus loves you and there is treasure on offer. You just got to fix your eyes. So seeing clearly will guard your heart from fake treasure and losing everything. Let's start. Look at verse 19. Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth. Now that word there, do not lay up, it's really a present tense continuous. So it's better to say, don't carry on laying up treasure. Jesus is saying, you're doing it. Stop it. No, you're still doing it. Stop it. No, you're still doing it. Stop it. That's the sense of verse 19. Stop it. And surely, if there was ever a word for Perth, here it is, verse 19. If Jesus came to earth, to Perth, I think he would say that, in fact, you know what? I know what Jesus would say. I have a word from God for you this morning because it's written. Stop laying up for yourself treasures on earth. You're still doing it. Stop it. Stop building your financial security. Stop it. Stop saying, I don't want to be rich. I just want to be comfortable. Stop it. Stop thinking like that. Now, mind you, I just want to say straight away, please know that Jesus is only talking to his disciples. Please understand that. If you're here this morning and you're not yet a disciple of Jesus, first of all, you're most welcome. Thank you for being open-minded and joining us. But you can store up as much treasure as you'd like. You can carry on. The reason is that's the only heaven you will ever have, and you might as well get as much as you. In fact, Princess Leia. Do you all know Princess Leia? What did she say to Han Solo? If money is what you love, then that's what you'll receive. So for you, this doesn't apply. But if you're a Christian here this morning, stop it. Stop laying up treasures here on earth. Why? Why should I stop? Well, Jesus gives you two reasons. Number one, because you will lose everything. Look what he says. Stop laying up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. Jesus is saying, why store up treasure on earth when you're going to lose everything? You will lose everything. So why are you doing it? Why are you storing up things on earth when you will lose everything? Don't let your eyes deceive you. It's shiny. I know it's shiny and it glitters, but it's not treasure because you'll lose it. You're going to lose all of it. Your eyes ought to focus on something else. Now, what I've done is I've got a little passage here for you. Turn over the sheet. Have a look at Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. What the Bible teach? Who has heard of the prosperity gospel? Well, I'm about to preach the true prosperity gospel. And it is this. It is liberation from wealth. That's the true prosperity gospel. It is to be set free from the love of wealth. Look at what the Bible says. I'll go through it quite quickly. Have a look at verse 10. This is what the Bible says. He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income. This is vanity. The Bible says the more you have, the more you want. Whoever has will want more. The more you have, the less satisfying it is. It's like a drug. You know drug addiction. Finally, you have to have more and more and more to get the same high. The same with money. Donald Trump is not happy with $10 million. You would be ecstatic. He's not happy. Why? The more you have, the more you want. The harder it is to become happy. The high just recedes from you. Not only that, look at verse 11. When goods increase, they increase who eat them. And what advantage has their owner but to see them with their eyes? Verse 11, the more you have, the more your expenses increase. The more you have, the more you spend. And so the less you have, so the more you want. So the more you, blah, blah, blah. It's a vicious cycle. Look what it says in verse 11. And what advantage has their owner but to see them with his eyes? The more you have, the more empty it becomes. And notice the eyes. The more your eyes keep feasting on them, but the more you realize it's empty. You have a garage full of cars. You're collecting cars. There they stand. Feast your eyes. And what your eyes are doing is they're taking these things and they're stuffing in down below into your heart, but your heart is finding it empty. Look at verse 12. Sweet is the sleep of a laborer, whether he eats little or much. But the full tummy of the rich will not let him sleep. The more you have, the more you worry. The more you have, the more you worry. Have you ever been in a car park? Lakeside Mall. I saw this. And you watch a guy in a Porsche. So there I am in the car park a couple of years ago, and a Porsche pulls up and a dude pulls up in a Toyota Hilux from 1933 or whatever, you know. And I love to watch them both. The guy who arrives with his Hilux just goes, jumps out, off he goes. The guy with the Porsche is like, you know, and then the side, you know, and then he steps back, and who could possibly scratch my car, you know? And then they go into the mall. Inside, I didn't see them anymore. Who do you think's having a good time? The dude with the Hilux is walking around shopping. The dude with the Porsche is, I hope it's okay. I hope no one scratches it. I hope my car's, is it getting too much sun? I wonder if I should have gone on. Or what about this? They're watching a movie. Whose car is depreciating faster? The Hilux can't get lower than $1,000. But the guy in the Porsche, while he's watching The Lion King, his money is going down in the car park. Or what about this? Who has to clean it more? What do you think the guy with the Hilux does on a Saturday morning? Well, I'll tell you. He doesn't wash his car. But the whole weekend, the guy with the Porsche is polishing it. Who gets to have children and dogs laughing in the back of their car? Who has more joy? And most of all, who gets to say this? Mate, take my car. Not the guy with the Porsche. The more you have, the more you worry. Look at verse 13. There is a grievous evil that I've seen under the sun. Riches were kept by their owner to his hurt. The more you have, the more it's going to hurt you. No, it won't. Yes, it will. No, it won't. Yes, it will. Your possessions are hurting you now. Do you know why? Because the periscope is focusing on the wrong thing. Do you know what candy floss is? What is Australian for candy floss? What do you call? What do Australians call candy floss? Fairy floss. That's it. Actually, are there any Afrikaners here today? Do you know what Afrikaners call candy fluff? It's the best Afrikaans word, spook awesome, which means ghost breath. But anyway, there you go. That's something for nothing. Here's what's happened. When your eyes are feasting on money, they are feeding fairy floss to your heart. And your heart is chewing on these things, and that, you know what fairy floss does? Shrink, goes to little. And your heart is full of pimples and decaying teeth, and it's fat, and there's no nutrients, and your eye is stuffing fairy floss down into your heart because you're looking at your treasure and there's nothing to it. It's empty. Verse 14, and those riches were lost in a bad venture. You bet on the Dockers or something. And his father of a son, but he has nothing in his hand. And as he came from his mother's womb, he shall go again, naked as he came, shall take nothing for his toil that he may carry away in his hand. The more you have, the more you will lose. It's very simple. The more you will leave behind. So, back to verse 19. Jesus says, do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. Now, is everyone ready for the surprise? Jesus wants you to be rich. Jesus wants you to have treasure. Do not leave here this morning thinking Jesus wants to take from you. He wants to give to you. In fact, Jesus commands you to be rich. Look with me at verse 20. But lay up for yourselves treasures. Jesus commands you to be rich. But it depends where. And he says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Why? Two reasons. Number one, it will last. Look halfway through verse 20. Where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. Jesus says, store up treasure where it lasts. You'll never lose it. You'll never have to kiss it goodbye. It will be yours to enjoy forever. Be rich in the right place, says Jesus. Send your treasure to heaven, and you'll have it forever. Second reason, and here comes the most important thing, your heart always follows your treasure. See, Jesus is actually not after your money. He's after your heart. And he knows wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be. Look at verse 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Absolute rule of the universe. Where your treasure is. Who is sitting here thinking of Taco Laurent's for lunch? That's where your heart is. Because that's where your treasure is. Wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart will wander to. Does anyone here know what a cast net is? Anyone know what a cast net is? Any fishermen here? All right, well, I'll have to explain it then. Okay, so I am the worst fisherman in the history of fish. There has never been anyone as bad as me. So I had a mate who was going to teach me how to throw a cast net. All right, so here's what a cast net is. It's a net. And what it's got all these lead, heavy leads around the bottom. And what you do is you take this big net, you fold it up very specially, and you put it on your shoulder like this. Well, I actually used to put it on this side, right? And then what happens is you take the net, and you actually spin. You turn around like this, and you throw. And if you get it right, this net with all these heavy weights lands in the water. There's a string attached to it. You stand on the string, actually. And then when it falls down, it sinks. And then you pull the net like this, and you scoop up all these fish. So I had a mate, silly guy tries to teach me how to do this. So I remember we're standing on the edge of the river, and I've got this cast net, and it's all over my shoulder, and I'm ready. And it's heavy. And I throw this thing. Whoa, 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 whoa. But, typical me, the string was hooked around my leg. And so as I throw this thing, it pulls me in. Into the river I go, and everyone, that's a great story and all that. That's what your heart does. Jesus says, wherever you cast for treasure, it's going to pull you with it. So says Jesus, throw your net into heaven. Search for treasure there, because the string will pull you there. Your heart will always follow your treasure. The great Augustine said this, the heart is not where it is. The heart is where it loves. Your heart will always follow your treasure. Okay, Dwayne. So how do I throw my treasures into heaven? Do you know, I collect motorbikes. How do I get my motorbike into heaven? Well, let me help you there. Whatever you give to Jesus will last forever. That's the principle. Let me quote the great A.W. Tozer. Listen to what he says. Any temporary possession can be turned into everlasting wealth. Here's what he says. Whatever is given to Christ is immediately touched with immortality. That's how you get your treasures to heaven. You know, I've got a great example, still one of my favorite examples in Australia. Some person inherited a house, sold a house, and gave $250,000 to the church. Now, they are $250,000 poorer on earth. Do not believe the prosperity gospel. They are poorer on earth. But they are millions of dollars richer in heaven. And if it wasn't for that person, we wouldn't have been able to buy this. We definitely leaned on that money. There is an example of what Jesus is talking about. Cast your treasure there, and your heart will follow it there, and you will have it forever. And he's not just saying give it away. Don't think you have to give everything away. What he's saying is be generous and sharing. Open your heart. Share it. Now, I'm going to move on, but you know, you need to know my sermons are long enough already. But in our growth groups, I have written a number. If you come to our church and you're not part of a growth group, you need to know you are getting exactly 50% of the story. Because in the growth groups, they wrestle, and I've written a whole lot of things there, and I've written some things about this for the growth groups to discuss. But in the meantime, I'm going to move on. Seeing clearly will guard your heart from fake treasure and losing everything. Can you see how important it is to see clearly? Look at verse 22. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. And if then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? Can you see it's so important to see clearly? A couple of weeks ago in our church, during the question and answer time, and if you're here this morning, I don't mean to pick on you at all, but someone texted in this question. God seems to be blessing Westerners more than, say, Africans or Asians because we are wealthy. I got that question a couple of weeks ago. Maybe you remember it. That's a classic case of not seeing clearly. That's exactly what Jesus is talking about, because here's the truth. Materialism gives you spiritual cataracts. Having wealth blinds your eyes. You can't see clearly anymore. Anyone who drives an extremely expensive luxury car is spiritually blind. Anyone who lives in a massive house with empty bedrooms has got spiritual cataracts. They're not seeing clearly. Anyone who goes collecting expensive things is spiritually blind. Here's what Jesus says to rich Christians. Look at this. This is Jesus talking to the wealthy church of Laodicea in the book of Revelation. This is what he says. These are Jesus' words. I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched. You're pitiable. Do you ever feel sorry for billionaires? Or do you envy them? Do you read Forbes' list and wish? Or do you read Forbes' list and go, oh, thank you, God, I'm not like one of those. Do you ever look at someone who wins the lottery and think, oh, God, please don't let me win the lottery? Or do you pray to win the lottery? Oh, you're so blind. Look what Jesus says. You are poor. And there it comes up again. You're blind. You're naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire. Get some real gold. Get rid of that yellow stuff. So that you may be rich there. You have it again. God doesn't want you to be poor. He wants you to be rich. But see things properly. And white garments, so that you clothe yourself and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen. There's no point in saying, you know, I got Gucci on my body, but it's you that's on my mind. That's not what you're supposed to be saying. You're supposed to be saying, God, clothe me with righteousness and the shame of your nakedness, and here it comes, and salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Jesus says, Dr. Jesus is also not just a cardiologist, he's an ophthalmologist. He can give you new eyes so you see things properly and you despise the wealth of this world. Seeing clearly will guard your heart from freight treasure and losing everything. Secondly, and this one's much quicker, seeing clearly will guard your heart from being torn apart and despising God. It gets very serious. If you've struggled this morning to accept what Jesus says, I don't know how you're going to cope with verse 24. Look what Jesus says in verse 24. No one can serve two masters. Do you know, I used to be the golden baritone. Which is not true, but anyway. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. And every one of us thinks, yes, I can. And you can't, but I can. I am the one in 8 billion who's got this right. No, you're not. Jesus says, so maybe he's being a bit extreme. Don't you think Jesus is a bit extreme? I mean, it's so polarized, you know? Does it have to be hate and love and serve and despise? Can't we just, you know, balance, you know? Jesus, the truth is, I love and serve God only. And I'm just, you know, careful with my money and my investments and my two houses and my overseas trips and my jet skis and my boats and my luxury car and my brand label clothes and my best sports gear and my collection of cars and motorbikes and expensive gym equipment and accommodation upgrades and Foxtel and luxury holiday cruises and fine restaurant wining and dining. I don't serve any of those things. You know, I'm just careful with them. Really? Give half of them away. Can you do it? Can you do it? Like the rich young man who came to Jesus? Can you give half of that away? Could you swap Foxtel for compassion? Can you? Ooh, you're hurting me. Okay, don't give it away. Generously share it all. Can you do that? Look what Jesus says. No one can serve two masters. You either hate the one love the other. Did you all see that you will serve something? He doesn't say there are actually three types of people. You serve money, you serve God, or you serve yourself. No, 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 no. You can't serve yourself. You will either serve money or you will serve God. And the question this morning is you need to decide who's a better master, money or Jesus? Jesus says it's a question of hate or love. Here's another secret of the heart. Let me quote. You're not getting a chocolate for this. Bob Marley, one heart, one love. He has a new thing about the heart Jesus teaches us. The heart can only love one thing at a time. You will either love money or you will love God. Jesus says, no one can serve more than one master. No one can love more than one master. No one can live for more than one world. No one can love more than one world. If you try, here's what will happen. Look at point two. Seeing clearly will guard your heart from being torn apart and despising God. If you try, your heart will be torn apart. Wealth will tear your heart apart. And if you're not careful, and if you're not extremely generous, you will end up despising God. Already, some of you this morning are a little bit angry with me because Jesus has touched a raw nerve. My top of the range, expensive car for which I worked very hard and paid a fortune for is not up for discussion in your sermons. The heart jealously guards what it loves. If you love wealth, your heart will guard your wealth against the claims of Jesus Christ, and you will end up despising him. A generous, sharing Christian is a happy Christian. A wealthy, selfish unbeliever might be happy, but a wealthy Christian will struggle with a torn heart his whole life. Okay, so what must we do? What must we do? Here's how we close. My child, give me your heart. That's what God says to us this morning. Give me your, don't give me your money. Give me your heart. Throughout the Sermon on the Mount, as we've come in, this I think is our 16th talk on the Sermon on the Mount. Throughout this whole series, you know this and I know this, the one thing your Father wants is your love. The whole Sermon on the Mount has been about your heart, about what you love. Now these words, my child, give me your heart, come from Proverbs chapter 23. And I want to close by getting very practical. Although in the growth groups, you're going to dig down and get very practical. But what I want to do is I want to go to Proverbs 23, and I'm going to give you a practical example from the Bible how this plays out. So have a look with me. It's on the screen, Proverbs 23. Look at what the Bible says. Watch the periscope. Watch the periscope. My son, give me your heart. Let your eyes delight in my ways. For a prostitute is a deep pit, and an adulteress is a narrow well. She lies in wait like a robber and increases the traitors among mankind. So watch how it works. Practically, watch how this works. Okay, so there she is. She's wearing those, you know, those very tight pants everyone wears today, which leaves hardly anything left for. But there she is, right? Oh, my goodness. Your eyes lock onto her. Sorry, ladies, I can only speak from a guy's perspective. Your eyes, I mean, conceivably, there might be a handsome guy out there, but, you know. You look at her, and there must be a God. She is absolutely gorgeous. So your eye, what are your eyes doing? Your eyes are feeding your heart. with a beautiful object. Your eyes are saying to your heart, oh, you've got to have this. She's stunning. Here is something you will never get used to. You know that's a lie, but here is something you will never get used to. Your eyes are lying to your heart. You look at her and you think you have to have her. You will never be happy until you have her. What will stop you? What will stop you? Your eyes are wounded. Now you look at your wife. Have you ever seen anything more mundane in all your life? Because your eyes have been damaged. They're not seeing clearly. You've got spiritual cataracts. Let me prove it to you. Look what the Bible says about her. She's a prostitute. She's an adulteress. She's a deep pit. She's a narrow well. But you're seeing none of that. You're seeing legs. You're seeing hair. You're seeing eyebrows. You know, you don't see any because you're blind. You can't see properly. The Bible tells you what she is, but you can't see it. What will guard you? What will save you? Naughty. Will rules help you? Rules are not going to help you. Here's what will help you. Give me your heart. A periscope will help you. Look at the top line. My son, give me your heart. Here it comes. And let your eyes delight in my ways. The only way you're going to not go for the bait is if you take your eyes and delight in God's ways. When you see God and his ways, the periscope will feed your heart with something more precious, more beautiful, so that you will look at her and go, lovely, but I'm okay, thank you. I love you. You see what? That's a practical case in point. What will happen is that your eyes, when you see God and delight in him, it will protect your heart from fake treasures. If you stare at the glorious sun, when you look at a candle, you won't think it's that bright. That's what God is saying. All right, Dwayne, okay. Where can I see God? You want me to look at God and his ways and delight in them? Where can I see it? There's only one place. You have to stare at the cross of Jesus Christ. When you look at the cross, you see an eternal object of beauty that is ravishing to spiritual eyes. When you look at your Father's love for you, when you see how much your Father loves you, that he sent his only Son to die on the cross for you, when you look at the cross and you think to yourself, my goodness, what was God thinking when he loved me like that? When you look at the cross and you think, what did God ever see in me? The answer is nothing. Then when you see that, it feeds your heart. The love of the Father displayed in the death of his Son for you is the vision that feeds your heart and guards you from fake treasure. Your Father's love for you in Jesus Christ, his Son, is the object of beauty that your heart is searching for. And when you look at it, and when you stare at it, you will never get over it, or get bored, or get tired of it. And that's how your treasure will guard your heart. I want to close with words from a song. And we are going to sing amazing songs. We're going to sing, Be Thou My Vision. Can you believe it? We're going to sing these words. But why don't you maybe close your eyes. And let me close with these words. Maybe close your eyes. And let's get John Newton to preach to us. Listen to the words of this hymn. In evil long I took delight, unawed by shame or fear, until a new object struck my sight. and stopped my wild career. I saw one hanging on a tree in agonies and blood, who fixed his languid eyes on me as near his cross I stood. A second look he gave, which said, I freely all forgive. This blood is for thy ransom paid. I died so that you can live. Why don't you now, in the quiet of your heart, look at Jesus on the cross. Let your heart feed on him. And the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Lord Jesus Christ, you are the true ophthalmologist. You are the true cardiologist. Fix our eyes. Fix our eyes on Jesus. Cure our hearts. Save us from the love of money. Amen.